talking about giving Zoltar more money.
Are you Brian?
Yeah.
I'm Abigail. I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere.
Blues, women, and blues. I'm here, I'm there. So this is the van?
Yeah, this is the van. Blue Jean Baby. Sometimes I call her Big Booty Judy because all the weight's in the back.
And you've been living out of this for how long?
6 months. Six months. Yeah, so I can give you a little tour.
All right, it only takes
a few seconds. Spent 4 months building this out.
Wow.
I travel full-time and I work for myself, so I really prioritize a nice big desk. I got a nice little office space.
And did you build all this? Or?
All of it, yeah.
Wow.
Everything from scratch, which was quite a learning process.
I can imagine.
Also, I'm learning how to keep doors closed. full-size bed, all cabinet, kitchen stuff, if you'll see there. So kitchen, and then fridge, double basin sink. I traveled in a camper for 5 months and did 35 states in 5 months, and learned a lot about what I like, what I don't like. So when I bought the van, because when it was in a camper, it was not as discreet. And so learning, deciding a van, I wanted to be real stealthy. So you saw the outside, it's dark blue.
Mm-hmm.
It only has these windows, which I installed.
So that was a solid wall, and then you put a window there?
Yeah, by design. So you can't see through that one because of the back door. But, and then you can see those tiles.
That's not a window?
Nope, those are, that's called Feltrite tiles, and they're hard felt, just like this, actually. And it's really good soundproofing. They're actually built for podcasters, and so that's what they, when you close the, actually close that, and you'll hear, like, the, there's no reverberation.
Let's see.
Yeah, give it a yank.
Ooh. This is a recording studio.
It is. Look, I even got mood lighting.
Wow.
It is a recording
studio.
Is this
your stove?
Yep, it
nice,
is.
Nice.
Stove, toaster. That's really all I need.
This is so rad.
Thank you.
This is so rad.
It's perfect for me.
Hey, folks. Dr. Brian King here. I'm in. I'm sitting in a van parked right outside of Wald's Rug in South Dakota. I want to say South Carolina. I hate that. I have this desire to say South Carolina. You know, it just, it just rolls better. South Dakota. I'm in South Dakota in Wald's Rug. And craziest thing, I'm walking around and all of a sudden I hear this, "Hey, are you Dr. Brian?" And I turn around and it's Abigail Gazda, somebody who I met 10 years ago in Indiana. But we've connected through social media, so we've kind of kept up with each other and the whole time. But she's got like a super cool life now. And I just wanted to talk to her and get her on my podcast. So I think it's fitting that we're sitting in your van. So Abigail, you are a full-time van person.
Yes.
Right? We're in your van.
Yep.
So you're a full-time van, so tell me about that.
Yeah, so I've been a nomad for about 2 years or more, and traveled to Mexico, traveled to Costa Rica, but I also did a 35-state tour in 5 months around the country in a Toyota and a camper.
Wow.
That taught me a lot about being on the road, and I was in a relationship at that time, and so once it was, when I was out of that relationship and still a nomad, the van became the best option. I wanted to be stealthy, but also work, travel, life keeps me on the move, and so it's just the season of life where I can be out and about, and I love it. I love every minute of it. It's not for everybody, and so I'm a life coach, an author, a speaker, a publisher, and so I just stay on the road and hosting events all over the country, and also visit clients and friends and family.
Very cool. You know, I lived on the road for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I lived it was about 7 or 8 years. I forget exactly how long, but I never got to this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, I wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, I really wanted to get a, not maybe something bigger than a van, because I have a family.
Yeah.
Like but I really wanted to, and it never happened. And it's not like it's not gonna happen.
Right.
It just hasn't happened yet.
Right.
But yeah, now I've got my family in Texas. Maybe I'll get a van. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
right?
Pretty sweet, actually.
You can build them out all sorts of ways.
How did you do this? So did you have the University? Really?
Yeah.
So did you have any prior skills in mechanics or carpentry or anything?
I would say in a way I was like born into it. My dad's a craftsman. I would say like a contractor, but he's just so skilled. And I grew up laying concrete and, you know, painting things and stuff. And so I had that type of exposure, but not necessarily experience. And then I would say in like 2000, 18, I spent a little while building homes with a major construction company. So again, just a little bit of experience, but not with myself. Like, I did a lot of learning on this project and it was really cool. And like I said, YouTube University, and now I'm publishing or vlogging my entire build at The Adventures of Abigail.
Nice, nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
So are you getting a following on that?
Because yeah,
I know a lot of the van life people are just like, you know, I mean, they're that's their income.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
I get a lot. My income is from coaching, from being an author and leader in that sort of sense. But it's really fun to share this. And so I also, I call it more of a digital diary. Don't come there. Don't come to my vlog to learn how to build a van. Come to hang out with me.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
What's so you're in South Dakota and what's the tour been like so far?
It's very good. So hit San Fran, Salt Lake and Boulder, but I'm stopping in the middle for me. That's I feel like I'm a professional traveler at this point, because there's a lot of, it's easy to face burnout, you know that. And it's like, if you're moving too fast, you're visiting too much, there's no sort of downtime. And so like between each event, I'm also getting time out in nature or just like meandering through Waldrug for a couple hours.
I came here in between gigs, you know, and I there's a national park nearby, Badlands. I went to that, and you know, this stuff, the Black Hills is a cool area, you know? So yeah, this is that's how you live, you know? And it's a really wonderful way, because you get to explore as you work and so forth.
Yeah.
You said how long you've been doing this again?
2 years this I've been doing for 6 months.
Okay, but you've been on the road vagabonding for 2 years. So that's, that puts us into the pandemic.
Yeah.
Right? Is that when you started? Was that what prompted it? Right
towards the end. End of 2020, I moved to Prescott and then started getting ready to go to, started in Mexico though. That was the real like kickoff.
Nice. How was it traveling Mexico?
Great. Again, in a relationship, but also like once you're there, I felt very safe. Same. I went to Costa Rica by myself for 2 months and I was relocating every 2 weeks to visit everywhere and loved it. I love it. Yeah. It's so nice to be a part of a culture and attempting to learn Spanish. I've been trying to learn Spanish as long as I've met you.
That was going to be my next question. So I used to travel Mexico quite a bit when I was younger. And I did speak, I say semi-fluently. Yeah. You know, and I got enough to get it by. A backpack and a bus ticket.
Yeah.
And I was all over Mexico for several months at a time.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to go back. And now I have a family. So I'm like, I'll probably go back in like something like this, you know, and travel all around.
Yeah.
But so no Spanish, huh?
No, I'm trying. It doesn't stick. I try very hard, though. Yeah.
As long as you're going to figure out the word for bathroom and order food appropriately.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You get along.
Yep.
So that's amazing, though.
Yeah.
And I remember when Abigail was first sort of embarking on your speaking career, or you're trying to get into this whole realm.
Yeah.
How'd you get into that?
Yeah, actually, my education is in being a teacher. So I have my physical education and health degree. And that, I mean, that's a stage in itself, and helping kids and all of that. And when I left, it started with direct sales specifically, like MLM. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to train more than I love selling. Selling is easy enough for me, but like I wanted to train other people on how to do that. And so it continuously developed. And so I joined a coaching program to learn how to do that. And again, I'm a great coach, but I like speaking just constantly calls.
Yeah,
and so I love leading from the stage. I love leading from the front, and I love helping other people know that they can do what they want to do too.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. It's amazing. Speaking is, it's not something everybody can do, but there are those of us who are just, it just calls us, you know, and I stumbled into my speaking career. We all have a different path. I started as a psychologist, and then I became a comedian, and then comedy plus psychology equals I'm now Dr. Brian King.
I feel like I met you in that transition, because it was like a happiness or joy workshop.
You met me early in my speaking career. I mean, it was a long time ago, and also coincidentally the first time I ever went to Waldrug was that year.
Yeah.
So you met me in that tour. You know, the infamous 2012 that tour. So what kind of stuff do you speak about, or what kind of subjects do you do?
Yeah, I talk a lot about emotional intelligence and subconscious reprogramming. So that's my jam.
Nice.
I also work with shadow integration a lot. I love that content. I can get really heady, get really deep in there. But also heady, yes, but it's really about being in your body and in your heart. And so I talk all about that, whether it's from stage or my podcast or my books, as much as I can.
You're really into that wellness. You're tapped into that wellness genre, and which is a good thing. thing. What do you, because honestly, there's so much unhealthy behavior, and not just behavior, but just mental attitudes
that are pervasive. And that we don't even know exist within us.
Yeah, no, it's that's the stuff I teach about, but in a different capacity.
Totally.
You know, I work on, I tell people how to manage stress. And the whole point, the whole reason I tell people manage stress is so that they can be healthier and not succumb to some of the things that that happens to people.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
It is.
What are the books?
Three of them. So I have Giving Up, The Memoir of a Quitter.
I think I remember that one.
That's
you sent me one of those,
probably.
Didn't you? I think
probably.
Did. Yeah.
That was the very first one, which, like, I never set out to be an author. I was a gym gal, a teacher, athlete. And I remember getting a C on a research paper, and I was like, I'm not a writer. And I kind of wrote that off. And then during my coaching career, it, like, dawned on me, this one epiphany just kind of pushed a whole book out of me, and I wrote that in 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Giving Up, and then Talking to the Trees is the next book, and I love that one because I wrote it as a fictional narrative, but ultimately it's told as a 3-week road trip, but it's like five years worth of nomadic travel.
My first book was actually a fictional account of travel. And it's, don't look for my first book. I took it out of public. I took it out of circulation because I found some grammatical errors. It was just, it was so horribly written.
I get it. I tell authors all the time because I help them publish, like, there's going to be a typo.
My book, so I don't mean to diverge, but my first book, I wrote it in college
because
I had this weird idea that every smart person should write a book, which I still kind of feel like you should. But I put all this effort into writing it, shopped it around to publishers. Nobody wanted it.
Yep.
And then it was so long ago that this was right at the beginning of print on demand publishing.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And I got an ad. I went to Barnes & Noble one day and they put an ad in my bag that says, have you written a book? Would you like to print it? You know?
Okay.
And so I'm like, nobody else wanted it. Let me do it. You know?
Yeah.
And so I printed this book and I didn't even look at it again to edit it.
You know
what I mean? Like, they wanted to charge extra for editing.
Yeah,
you know? And so it went out and people read it and liked it. But a lot of people were like, hey, Brian, you got this wrong, or you spelled this wrong, or this is, you know? And then every time I picked it up, I'm just embarrassed by it. You know? So when I actually became known as an author, people started looking up my old works and they were finding it. And I was like, oh, I got to get this off the market. But
you'll have to run like a whole second limited edition.
I think I'm going to, actually. During the pandemic, I started editing it. So I might release it as a better version.
So
like a novelization of travel. With some lessons to teach.
Totally.
Basically. That's the exact genre.
It tells that life lessons coming of age, and also like a spiritual journey. And then my third book is called Alchemizing Judgment, A Guide Back to Love.
Nice.
And it's much more manual, guide, textbook like, but it's thorough. It is a dense book. It's for people who want to dive into transformation for sure.
Wow.
So
wow. I love your titles.
Thank you.
I really do. Those are catchy titles, and it's just by like a few words, I kind of get what's in them. Some of these titles, it's like that they have a catchy title, and then there's like a subtitle that just like explains it. You know what I mean? And then there's a picture of some flowers on the cover.
Yeah.
You know, that's not. I especially love your first book's title, just Giving Up, Giving Up.
Yeah.
You know, that's amazing because it's like you're saying no to saying no, or, you know, rejecting rejection or something like that.
Healthy quitting. Because it's for people pleasers who want to live a life that pleases them instead, right? And because
was that you at some point in your life?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. To nobody's fault either, right? Like wanting approval, wanting to be liked, wanting to be accepted and celebrated. You just sort of, I didn't know that I didn't become myself. I guess I never spent time asking who is Abigail.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my mid-20s, I did.
Yeah.
And so that flipped my life upside down and set me on this trajectory. And now I live in a van.
It's rad. Did you ever think that this would be your life?
No, no, truly. I say that all the time. Like if only 16-year-old version of me heard what happened.
Yeah. So the ironic thing about my life, when I wrote that first book, I wrote it from based on some travels that I did. I fictionalized it, you know, but it's still very clearly about me, you know, because I'm not that good of a writer.
Yeah.
And when I and the end of that book, the protagonist decides to live on the road.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was kind of my mindset when I wrote the book. And this is in college. This is years and years ago. And then I ultimately ended up living that life for like I kept I would always think about that because I was on the road for 8 years, and I was just like, you know, I made it.
Yes.
I did the thing that I wanted to do, even though I wasn't really sure that that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But you know, now that I'm back on the road, I'm kind of, you know, I'm like half. I got a home, but I'm also traveling a lot. You know,
so hybrid.
Yeah, yeah, it's hybrid lifestyle. Yeah. That's a great way to.
I imagine like getting to that point, but for now it's just full blown.
I want to get like a ranch or something. Yeah, like just something remote and just kind of like that I can retreat to occasionally when I'm not gigging. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is so awesome, though. I love your hookup. What's your podcast about?
Hearts Unleashed podcast. It's emotional intelligence, subconscious reprogramming. It's about turning dreamers into doers. So I record two formats. One is a 15-minute fill-up, which is where people can listen. I'm just jamming out with them stuff they can take into their life on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And they're always titled like explicitly, like, you know, just so that you know what you're going to get, just the same way as the books.
Yeah.
But then also interviewing people. So we sort of jam out on what they do and in the realm of living your heart unleashed. I like to interview, which I'm going to have him on the podcast. So
all right.
If you accept the invitation.
Of course.
But, that people who are living their heart unleashed and like it's very clear so that we can learn from them like what it looks like to just really step out as ourselves.
That's rad. That's super cool. And how do people find your podcast?
Spotify, iTunes, but heartsunleashed.com is the best because I found out, I don't know if you know this, but on Spotify, you can only have 300 episodes.
Really?
So when you start publishing beyond 300, it starts shaving off the front.
Oh,
which
wow.
Which was a real bummer. So I don't know if that's like that with everywhere, but I really think that the best way you can support people is going directly to their website. So heartsunleashed.com and abigailgazza.com is where you can find my books as well.
Nice. And your books are all available on
Amazon.
What about I want to talk real quick about your speaking tour that you're doing because I think this sounds super cool.
Yeah.
Just give me like a quick, give my fans a quick little blurb. what's the speaking gig?
Yeah, so I'm currently on a 13-city speaking tour, just finished two of them. It's called Speaker Stage, and I'm actually hosting them physically in person for that local aspect and then also virtually. It's a 3-minute speaking spot for either aspiring speakers or veteran speakers or experienced speakers who maybe want to practice a new pitch or focus on a specific topic or product. And so it's an awesome opportunity because you get a 3-minute speaking spot and also 1 minute of live audience feedback.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, I love the speaking aspect, but I also love that really potent networking aspect because then it's like, I liked what you said here. This stuck out to me. This really inspired me. Or what I see could be improved. Did you notice that? And so it's still oriented around positive feedback, but also meant to be impactful.
Right.
And then we spend like 30 minutes after just like visiting and exchanging names and numbers and
stuff.
That's
awesome. And you've done two so far. What's the next city?
Two in person. Cedar Rapids next.
Nice.
But we got Chicago, Green Bay, Upper Michigan, and then I'm heading back through the Southwest.
Oh man, it sounds awesome. Yeah. And you're traveling to some of my favorite parts of the country too.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Especially in the summer, by the way.
Yeah. Don't go near Upper Michigan in the winter.
No, pass.
Green Bay, forget about it. You know?
Yeah.
You're going to go to Door County when you're in Green Bay. That's such a cool spot.
Yeah.
Abigail, this was so fortuitous. Yeah. It's so awesome to run into you. This is pretty badass. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
and thanks for being on my podcast. And folks, thanks for listening or watching, depending on how you're consuming this. And that's been another episode of On the Road with Dr. Brian. Thanks. Bye-bye.
I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. Blues, women, and blues. I'm here, I'm